A couple of weeks back, we invited people from the future to travel back in time, if they could, and attend this event. So if you're looking at this now in the 27th century, we want to invite you to come here and visit us and tell us what it's like out there, or up there. Again, 160 Varick Street, New York, New York, Planet Earth. I'm sure you can find us. I thought maybe that if somebody saw that video in a future where time travel is possible, they would be tempted to come back and join the conversation, kind of like in Annie Hall where Marshall McLuhan... What's that? Was this supposed to be somebody... Excuse me, sir?
Yes!
You're not from the future.
Yes! I'm sorry, I'm from the future, but I got here a little late and they locked me out. And it's cold, it's freezing out here.
Well, why don't you, I guess you should come on in that case. You're a little disorganized for somebody from the future, it seems like.
Well, I mean, not completely disorganized. I do have this wireless headset.
Good thinking. I wondered why you could speak directly to us through the speakers in the studio here.
Well, you know, it's an old time traveler trick. Once you figure out that you are late, you can't undo it twice, but you can flip back and pick up something if that works out for you, you know. It really helps you stay oriented.
Well, just come up here on stage. Now, first of all, I want to know exactly when in the future you're from.
Well, it doesn't really work that way. There's more than two directions. It's just a lot more fluid than that. I think the easiest thing to say would be quite some time in the future.
Quite some time is a little vague, frankly, for me. If you could just be a little more precise. But is this one of those paradox problems? That's why you can't tell us?
No, it's not the paradox thing. It's a little bit like... It's a framework problem. It's like trying to explain a server farm to a 13th century French peasant, you know? Because you have to explain electricity, and then you have to explain computers, and then you have to explain binary computing, and then you have to explain the internet, and then you have to explain Nigerian email scams, and the whole thing eventually just becomes really difficult to deal with.
So even if I were a very smart 13th century French peasant.
Yes, even if you're the smartest French peasant in the world, it's just a pain to deal with. So let's just say quite some time.
Well, so whenever it is, quite some time in the future that you come from, is time travel common?
Oh, yes, it's very, very common.
Really?
Yeah.
And what do you use? Do you use it for things?
Yeah, you know, primarily we use it for productivity. Like, let's say it's the morning, and I'm having a bad morning, and I'm not getting a lot of work done. If it gets to be about 11:30, 11:45, I'll jump back to 8:30, and future me will help earlier me try to have a more productive day.
Nice. But then there are two of you.
Right. And the future me usually brings coffee back for earlier me, which is actually usually why there's a problem in the first place. And then future me can tell earlier me which meetings we didn't have to go to, which emails didn't need answering, and whether it is actually going to rain or not.
But then doesn't that lead to one of these paradox problems?
Yeah, little ones. Little ones, you know, really, seriously, in your time, you guys are way too obsessed with causality and with paradox. It's really not nearly the problem you think it is.
But the grandfather paradox, where you go back in time and kill your grandfather, and then you don't exist?
Who does that? Seriously, who does that? Who goes back in time and kills their grand? You know, people who do that have a way of removing themselves from the gene pool.
Well, so can you tell us, I don't see anything out here on the street where you came in. What does your time machine look like? What's it like?
What you're dealing with is a buggy whip.
problem. You see, when cars were first invented, when the automobile first invented, they were called horseless carriages because the paradigm was they were defined not by having a motor, but by the absence of a horse. And so for the first couple of generations of cars, they would actually build a buggy whip holder right there on the driver's side, car after car, even though there was no buggy whip and no need for a buggy whip because there was no horse.
So our time-traveling spaceship is our horseless carriage. But what is our buggy whip? What exactly are we unable to conceive about the way time travel actually works, about your time machine?
You know, the trick is you have to let go of your assumptions. First, there's no such thing as what you're thinking of as time. And second, it absolutely does not require a machine.
Huh.
There you go.
Well, now that we've got you here, though, maybe could you take a few questions from the audience? I'm sure they'd be curious.
I'd be happy to.
Well, then let's see if anybody here has a question.
Have corporations taken the place of nations yet?
Well, I think that already happened here, didn't it? This is the early 21st century, right?
That's where we are, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That actually already occurred. You may not have noticed, and most of your media, which aren't really covering the news anymore, may not have reported it, but I think that was like late in the last decade.
And if there are any other questions, yes.
I'm totally obsessed with Lost. I was wondering, what are your thoughts about the idea of time traveling on the airplane crashing into the water, crashing into the ocean, but not really crashing and so forth and so on.
You know, it's interesting you ask that, because normally I wouldn't have a lot of familiarity with your era's television shows, but that show is a particular favorite in the era I come from, kind of a widespread comedy that we follow. And I think, you know, really the best way to watch the show is to just kind of turn the volume down real low. And then as you watch it, just narrate what you think is happening in the writer's room as they desperately try to weave together the strands that they have laid. You think time travel's complicated. The plot to Lost is far, far more complicated. Trust me, I could tell you what's going to happen, but you actually wouldn't believe it. You really, really wouldn't. And it's going to take 44 more seasons.
Thank you, Mike Daisy, for joining us from the future.